The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter number 21, text number 7, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on April 20th, 2008, in Timișoara, Romania.
So today we are blessed with the most fortunate opportunity. We thought that this auspicious place, the Hare Krishna Center, this most auspicious time during the early morning hour, to dive deeply into the most auspicious subject matter, Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 21st chapter, text number 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Atanyo Bhokshamanasya.
Atanyo Bhokshamanasya.
Vibhaktasya Mahipate.
Vibhaktasya Mahipate.
Vibhaktam Vyabhajatasmai.
Vibhaktam Vyabhajatasmai.
Vishalaya Harim Smaram.
Vishalaya Harim Smaram.
Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Savior of the fallen souls of this age. Thereafter, having divided the remaining food with his relatives, Dante Dev was just about to eat his own share when a Shudra guest arrived. Seeing the Shudra in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, King Runti gave him also a share of the food. Report. Because King Runti Dev saw everyone as part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never distinguished between the Brahmin and the Shudra, the poor and the rich. Such equal vision is called Samadarshinaha. Pandita Samadarshinaha. One who has actually realized that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's situated in everyone's heart, and that every living entity is part of the Lord, it does not make any distinction between the Brahmin and the Shudra, the poor, the Ridra, and the rich, Dhani. Such a person sees all living beings equally and treats them equally without discrimination. Vandeha Shri Guru Shri Jata Balakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So this quality is very important. The ability to see all living entities equally. In this material world, we discriminate. On what basis? On the basis of my personal sense gratification. You see. If you gratify my senses, then you are very good. You see. And if you don't gratify my senses, get lost. So, such a selfish, greedy, lusty, angry sort of mentality never satisfies the self. just like the hand cut off from the body, it may try to enjoy independently. Now, where is the enjoyment? The hand can only be nourished by the blood coming through the veins, the artery, whatever they call it, the veins, body supplying the nutrition coming from the stomach. On its own, the hand cannot find any nourishment. It may try laying down in a bowl of rice, but it cannot get any nutrition to the skin. Only through the stomach can it get the nutrition. So we try to enjoy separately from the Lord, thinking we may be able to succeed in doing that, but we never really do. We've been trying for God knows how many births. Jalajana Valakshani, Stavara Laksha Vinshati, Krameya Rudra Sankhyaka Pakshinam Daksha Lakshanam, Trinsha Lakshani Pashavaha, Chatur Lakshani Manashaha. So many millions and millions of births we have been trying to enjoy independently in the Supreme Lord. And where has it gotten us? Another damn rotting material body. That's all it's gotten us. So it's time we wise up, we get smart about this whole process called existence and stop being dragged through the muck of birth, death, old age and disease to our foolishness. I mean, there's no reason to be an ignorant fool when the Veda Vyasa has made all this knowledge available. I mean, there's no reason. It's the most unintelligent, idiotic situation. When all this wisdom is available, that the whole world can be peaceful and happy, we go on in this, with a half a brain, at most, trying to conduct a society, a world society. It's just getting worse and worse and worse without Krishna consciousness. Now the price of oil has gone through the roof, and how do we get our produce? It's all brought in by airplanes and trucks. How much of it is grown locally that can be brought in by a cart with a horse on it or an ox? How much of our produce is produced right here? You see? It's all done in these huge agribusiness farms somewhere in a distant place and brought in trucks and airplanes. You see? And now with the price of oil, petroleum, going through the roof, then the price of food is also going to go through the roof. Even at the present moment, there are people rioting because they can't afford to eat anymore. This modern-day economy, which is based on selfishness and greed, it cannot last. It will collapse, you see. Unless something is done to bring sanity to the human society, the whole thing is going to fall apart. It will fall apart. It's predicted, actually. The Kali Yuga means that the whole social order dismantles. Even the mundane poets have predicted it. There's one famous poet, his name was Yeats. He wrote poetry. He said, "Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world." So this is actually the reality in this Kali Yuga. The only thing that can really save the world is this Krishna consciousness movement. The only principle that can save it. You may say, but there's so many other churches and synagogues and rabbis and priests and ministers and preachers. They're also preaching God consciousness. Well, how pure are they? How are they really teaching pure bhakti? That's the question. They're God consciousness, I will accept. Yeah. They're all presenting some degree of God consciousness, and we appreciate them. Just like recently, one of our devotees, he met with the Pope in the U.S. He actually met as the representative of the Hindu community of North America. One of our ISKCON men met the Pope. He was chosen to be the representative of the Hindus in all of North America. So, yes, we very much appreciate the God consciousness which is there. But where besides Srila Prabhupada is pure bhakti being taught, the science of pure bhakti being taught? But I would completely free yourself from even the slightest tinge of egotism. the slightest tinge of selfishness, self-centeredness, you see, pride, you see, that is coming in the Chaitanya movement, you see. How to achieve complete purity of consciousness. It's there in other scripture. We don't say it's only in our scripture. But where is the practical implementation? Christ also taught pure bhakti. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. That is pure bhakti. This is revealed in the New Testament. But where is the practical technique, how to do that? That's why I joined the Hare Krishna movement. After toying around with Mayavadi philosophy and trying to be God for a while and not being able to pull it off, I realized I had to become a servant of them. That was the perfection of my consciousness. I couldn't. I really tried hard to be God. It just didn't work out somehow or other. Wasn't fated to be. So, alright, I had to be a servant of God. Now let me become a perfect servant. You see. I saw the example of Lord Jesus Christ. He became a completely surrendered servant of the Supreme Lord. That became his perfection. That made him the great spiritually enlightened being that he was. And then I wanted to find out, now how can I also achieve that state of purity? To me, that was the real meaning of Christianity. You see. Become Christ-like. Not one of these so-called sinners. He says, this is great, I can go on sinning and let Jesus take all the reactions from my sinful activities. That's not the real meaning of being a follower. The real meaning is you become like Christ, you see. Completely pure. That is the real meaning of following in the footsteps of Lord Jesus. So, I was looking, where is that place? Where is that teacher? Where is that system? That I can actually learn to become completely free of any, even the slightest tinge of egotism, selfishness, greed, lust, etc. Where is that system? And it turns out only Prabhupada is the only one who's really teaching that system to the perfection. Srila Prabhupada is the one who's really, he's the one who's doing it. So I joined up with the Hare Krishna people to get this training, to get this sangha, how I could actually achieve the state of pure devotional service. It's a very nice description here in the purport. You know, we can say that, seeing all living entities as in equality one with the Lord. But we actually walk out on the street. Is that how we see it? Philosophically, yeah. But we actually come out of practical day-to-day dealings on the streets of Timishwar, in the classrooms of Timishwar, the shops, the homes. We actually come down to the nitty-gritty day-by-day reality. Is this how we perceive it? No. We're still conditioned by the false identification with the body, and we see others also in relationship to their bodies. If we see a woman, we feel a certain way. If we see a man, we feel a certain way. That's bodily consciousness. So, how to come to this actual platform where we truly see all living entities with equal vision? That's what the science of, that's one of the manifestations of the science of bhakti. It actually will bring one to that stage. And the crux of the matter, or the real point of the whole thing, is that you don't see in relation to your own enjoyment. That's what it really boils down to. You never see in relation to your own enjoyment. You see everything as enjoyable by Krishna. That's the way to achieve this samadarshana. You see, everything is for Krishna, not for me. Of course, we are not left out. Prabhupada says that Krishna consciousness is your highest self-interest. But one has to know how to actually achieve one's personal highest self-interest. by not trying to get things for yourself, but always trying to give everything to Krishna. That's the point. Even in Krishna consciousness, you see, we have a tendency to be selfish. Even when we come to this movement, that tendency is there. Prabhupada told one devotee, he said, the first thing you think is about the whole movement, benefit of the whole movement. Then think about your zone and your temple. We have a tendency to do the other things first, you know. First me, then my temple, then my zone, and the Prabhupada training the other way. See what's beneficial for the whole movement first. How can I conduct my activities in such a way that the whole movement is benefited and pushed forward, you see? Because if we can manifest success globally, you see, then the local success will naturally be there. It works both ways, actually. And if we can manifest success locally, then globally. So we actually work it from both ends simultaneously. That's the art of preaching. You work on the nitty-gritty little detail, at the same time you have the broad vision. You come from both angles. Work on it from both ends. And then, one becomes very satisfied and happy. In other words, if we can be purely doing that which is best for all living entities, see, that automatically is samadarshana. In other words, samadarshana means that one should have a vision that every single man, woman, and child, at least, on the face of this planet, should be delivered back to home, back to God. That's samadarshana. You see? Not that, well, some people are qualified and suitable, and forget about the other people. That's not samadarshana. Samadarshana is to think all living entities must be delivered. I must live my life in such a way that all living entities, that I can do everything possible to facilitate the deliverance of every single man, woman, and child on the face of this planet back to home, back to God. In other words, to really be Samadarshana, you have to be a spiritual revolutionary. You can't just be a rice doll and chapati devotee thinking about your belly. Of course, rice dal chapatis is very nice. It's very good. But we have to go beyond simply rice dal chapatis. You see. And we have to think, how can I live my life in such a way that all living entities can, you know, have the best, can be best facilitated for going back to home, back to Godhead. And what is the first principle in regards to this concept? The first principle is that I have to become an ideal example. Because we're distributing these books, just like last night we sold so many books of the program. Now they're going to go home and they're going to read Prabhupada's words. And they're going to come here to the center and they're going to look at us and see, are we living manifestations of what's in these books? Is it? If they see contradictions between our behavior and our mentality and our speech and what they're reading in the books, then that's destroying our preaching. It's like lighting a fire. Selling the book is lighting the fire. And then if we're not behaving in accordance with the book, we're pouring water in the fire, you see, by our behavior. So we really have to do, for a complete successful preaching, is we have to distribute the books, you know, explain the philosophy nicely, and then they have to see that in our practical activities, that these people, as they say in America, they walk their talk. They say one thing and they do exactly what they say. They don't contradict themselves. They are not hypocrites. You see, in this age of Kali, it is the age of hypocrisy, isn't it? It's called like that, quarrel and hypocrisy. So the tendency by the influence of Kali, and by the way, do you know where Kali is? He's sitting in our hearts, that rascal. He's sitting in our hearts trying to take over, you see. He's saying, no, 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 don't do this Krishna consciousness. Do you know the personality of Kali is in your heart? You see, trying to convince you to stop chanting Hare Krishna, trying to convince you not to bow down to Krishna. You see, personality of Kali is working on us, you see, trying to divert us. He's been planted there by our upbringing. We are conditioned Kali Yugites, you see. That is how we were trained. As little children, as young teenagers, we were trained in Kali Yuga philosophy, to see everything in terms of Kali Yuga mentality. So that's why to take up Krishna consciousness seriously means you're declaring war against the personality of Kali, you see. You think Adolf Hitler was a demon. He's just a little tiny toy in the hands of the personality of Kali, you see. So we have such a demon to deal with, the personality of Kali. We have to conquer him. We have to defeat him, drive him out, get lost. You're not wanted here, you see. Go somewhere else. Leave me alone. Actually, in this age, the program of Pariksha Maharaj was to give Kali some facility. You see, well, you can live in this place and that place. That was the Pariksha's concession. But what is Lord Chaitanya's program to the personality of Kali? Kali has to shave up, put on tilak, he has to join the bhakti program. Lord Chaitanya's movement, we go everywhere to distribute books. One of my disciples, Bhaktivinoda Das, he loves book distribution. He works a job, he's an engineer. But every spare minute when he gets off work, he wants to go out and distribute books. It gives him joy and ecstasy to see the people getting Prabhupada's books. So he was, during the weekends he goes to a very popular area where there's a lot of people, but during the weeknights, the popular areas where the bars and, you know, all the sinful places are. So he was going there to distribute books. Some devotees said, oh, you shouldn't go there. He said only Lord Nityananda can go to such places. If you go there, you'll be contaminated by the atmosphere and you'll fall down. So he wondered. He wrote me, Gurudev, can I go to these sinful areas and distribute books? Is that all right? And I said, yes. Mm-hmm. Because we don't give any facility to Kali. We are not like Pariksha. All right, you can have that as your territory. We go everywhere and distribute the books. Even if we can go into a bar, we will go in and distribute. If we can do it, we'll go into a bar and distribute books there. Wherever we can distribute these books. Even into a brothel, we can get into a brothel and distribute books. We will go into a brothel and distribute books. Let all the prostitutes get Bhagavad Gita. Everywhere. Our mission is to flood this whole planet with these books of Srila Prabhupada. Because this will give them life. This will give them the hope. This will give them light out of this deep, dark, and, you know, ignorance. What is that wonderful word? What is that? Krishne Sradamo Pagate Dharma Gyanadibisaha Kalao Noshta Dasham Mesha Puranarko Danoditaha. This Bhagavad Purana, this is brilliant as the sun. And it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Sri Krishna to his own abode, accompanied with religion, knowledge, etc. See, not only did Krishna leave, but religion and knowledge went with him. That means what is left, when religion goes away and knowledge goes away, then you have irreligion and ignorance. They become predominant in society. So Krishna left and he took religion and knowledge with him, leaving nothing but irreligion and ignorance. You see. This Bhagavad Purana is brilliant as the sun. It has arisen just after the departure of Lord Sri Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Those persons who have lost their vision, who is that? That's us. You see. We are those persons who have lost their vision, and the entire world population as those persons who have lost their vision due to what? The dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali. And what does Bhagavatam say? They shall get light from this Purana. So some of Darshina means everyone, you see. Not that I only go to the university campus. But I can go anywhere, but a drunkard or a prostitute a pickpocket, everyone should get the opportunity to come in contact with this. Prabhupada was so merciful, he said even the drunkard, you see. The wino, they call them winos. They're very popular, and you may have them here. I know New York City, the many winos in the Lower East Side where Prabhupada used to live, is where all the winos live. They just live on cheap wine. They beg money and or sell bottles, something. They get enough money to buy the wine so they can stay drunk all the time. You see, and that way they spoil their life sleeping and just on the streets and drinking wine. And that's how they live. They're called winos. So Prabhupada used to see these winos. In fact, they used to, when he went into his apartment, they were in the stairway, sleeping in the stairway. They would get up and make way for Prabhupada to come through, respecting that here's a great saintly person. My godbrother, Avi Ramprabhu, he was on a morning walk with Prabhupada in Brooklyn. And there was some winos sleeping in just beside the sidewalk. And when Prabhupada came, they just like soldiers, they came to attention. And they stood up to honor Prabhupada as he came by, seeing here is a great saintly person. You see. So, Prabhupada said that the wino, if he will think that when he drinks his wine, if he will think that Krishna is the taste of the wine, then he becomes the greatest yogi. So actually, of course, we cannot imitate that. Oh, very good. I used to enjoy wine when I was at Karmi, so now I will drink wine again. I remember that Krishna is the taste of the wine, and that way I become a great devotee. No. That instruction is not for us. Is it? That instruction is for the wino, who's already, he's drinking wine. That's his whole life. Now, if he can add Krishna to his experience of wine, then gradually he'll find that Krishna is better than the wine. He'll give up the wine. But let him be encouraged. You see. If you meet a wino, you can tell him, oh, you like the taste of wine. Well, Krishna is that taste. Raso hum. He is the taste of all the liquid things. Raso hum apsukam teya. So whenever you drink wine, my dear sir, you should always remember that Krishna is the taste of the wine. In this way you become a great transcendentalist. Just keep meditating that Krishna is the taste of the wine whenever you drink your wine. So in this way, if we can tell a wino that Krishna is the taste of the wine, then certainly we can go, we can stand outside a tavern and distribute Prabhupada's books to the drunk people coming out of the tavern. And, you know, that is the real meaning of samadarshana, that every single man, woman and child on the face of this planet should get Krishna consciousness. We even want the animals shall get it. You see. Just like our great Shivananda Saint in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a wealthy businessman. So when the devotees would go on the pilgrimage to Jagannath Puri, he would fund it, he would organize and fund it. You see, that all the devotees can go to Jagannath Puri and associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was organizing, they were on their way to Jagannath Puri, and one dog, he tagged along with their parikrama parties. He joined in while following them on their journey. And then they came to a river, and you know, a river, they don't have, in those days there was no bridges across the rivers, there was a ferry boat. And you had to pay a toll, you couldn't go for free. The ferryman even earned his living by charging toll. So all the pilgrims got on and the dog hopped on. The ferryman said, no, no, you can't come free. If you want this dog to come, you have to pay toll for the dog also. So Shivananda said, all right, and he paid for the dog also. So this dog, he was being very nicely accommodated by Shivananda saying. Actually, one day the dog got lost. He disappeared from the party. Shivananda Saint was in anxiety. Where is that dog? In fact, he was so much in anxiety, he fasted. He was in anxiety. Where is that dog? Where is that dog? He was so concerned about the spiritual welfare of that jiva in the body of the dog. You see, he was concerned. He's been separated from our party. And actually, they never found him. They got all the way to Puri. They never found the dog. Finally, they went to Lord Chaitanya's darshan. And guess who they saw? The dog was there with Lord Chaitanya. Somehow he got there before they did. And Lord Chaitanya was throwing him, you know, that green coconut in India. He was throwing the pulp from the green coconut. The dog was going, Hari Bo, Hari Bo. He was chanting the name of Hari and taking the prasad that Lord Chaitanya was throwing to him. And then actually the dog died and went back to home, back to God. So this is Samadarshana. You see, if even I can benefit a dog, you see, then I will try to benefit the dog by giving him Krishna consciousness. One of my godbrothers, he has written a book about all the Krishna conscious animals. There's many stories in our society. There was in Mayapur, there was one dog who would hang around the temple. You know, these dogs aren't allowed in the temple. They're a dirty thing. They cannot come in the temple. So when all the devotees would go for prasad in the evening, the dog would look around and no devotees are there. He would come in and he would offer obeisances to the deities. Actually, some devotees heard about this and they just, you know, they hid so they could see the dog doing this. And it's been devotees actually saw this dog even do this practice. When devotees went to prasad, he would sneak into the temple and offer his obeisances to the deity. Obviously, he was a devotee in a previous life who did some pop, you see. So he took birth as a dog, but he had remembrance. Just like that Maharaj Bharat, you see. He remembered he was in the body of a deer, but he had remembrance of his human birth. So obviously this dog had remembrance of his human life. And he was trying to advance now from his dog's body and go for, you know, going back to home, back to Godhead. So we really need to have equal vision and think about the benefit of all living entities. And guess what? If you are totally absorbed in thinking about the benefit of all living entities, what are you? You're a living entity too, aren't you? So if you act for the benefit of all living entities, your own benefit is included automatically. In other words, if you think, how can I act in such a way that all living entities can get the blessing of going back to home, back to God, then automatically you will go. You understand? Automatically you are included. If you try to help everybody to be Krishna conscious, your Krishna consciousness will come automatically. I never forget one example of this connection. Many years ago I was in our Dallas temple. This was about 1978. We had a huge community of devotees all living in the temple, and buildings surrounding the temple. It was a common economy. Everyone collected money for the temple. Everybody was maintained by the temple. It was very intense management. There was a sannyasi managing the whole thing. I mean, even the temple paid for the diapers for the babies. I mean, you know, it was a big management, being a sannyasi managing 80 devotees, many of them householder couples. So many headaches. This problem, that problem, you know, so many constant headaches. So I remember the GBC came and he mentioned the temple president. He said, this temple president, because he is taking all of your problems on himself, therefore he has no problem. Like I said, that was a very, very wise statement, you see. Artamal Krishna Goswami, he said like that. Because the temple president was taking all the headaches of every single devotee in the whole community on his own shoulders, he said. He was accepting all those problems. He had no problem. He could say, oh, he has so many problems. This problem, that problem. How can Goswami, Maharaj, say that he has no problem? But actually it's a thing. Because he was always thinking of serving others, you see. He was always thinking of serving the Vaishnava. Therefore, his own problems are automatically gone. If we can always be in the mood of giving, 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 you see, that's the secret of success. That's the Vrindavan move, you see. Yashoda, one who gives yasho or fame. Kirtida, you see, in Vrindavan you have these names of Da. Da is the feminine, Da is the masculine form. But you have these Das in Narada. I don't know if it has the same meaning. But you have these ones who give, you see, in Vrindavan. So the Vrindavan mood is one of giving, 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 giving. And this material, everyone is take, 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 take. What can I get out of you? If I can get something out of you, then I'm interested in you. Otherwise, get out of here, you see. But the Vaishnava, he is always giving, 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 giving. Just like Prabhupada's sister, Pishima. She was our auntie. She was our aunt. She always wanted to cook for the Vaishnavas, you see. What will you eat? What will you eat? What will you eat? She always wanted to serve the Vaishnavas by cooking for the Vaishnavas. That was her heart. She always wanted to serve Prabhupada and Prabhupada's disciples by cooking for them. That was her great happiness and her great joy. She felt, personally, she felt very lowly and humble. She wasn't thinking, well, I'm the sister of the Jagad Guru, so everybody should honor me. No. She was very, very humble. In fact, when she would sit in one place, and she would get up, she would wash it with water, because I have contaminated that spot on the floor by sitting there. That's how humble she was. She felt herself very lowly and very contaminated. But she was always thinking, how can I serve? How can I serve? How can I serve? How can I serve? That was her happiness. So this mood of wanting to serve every single living entity by reconnecting them with Krishna, this is the true meaning of samadarshana. So if we will develop this mood as much as possible, then our lives will become completely free from anxiety, and we will see that this Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the entire planet and solve all the problems of the world society. We simply have to manifest this pure bhakti mood in our heart of service. And then this movement will completely engulf the whole planet. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
So samadarshina, many people are preaching to the human being, but nobody preaches to the animals, cats and dogs. So I should get some cats and dogs and pets in my home and feed them prasadam. Would that be samadarshina? And they're my pets. Mm-hmm. Preaching to
what is the question?
The question is, would that be alright then?
If someone has pets, let them feed the pets prasadam. Let the pets hear the kirtan.
Yeah,
why not?
But I'm saying that nobody preaches to them, nobody can preach to them, so we can bring them and make them pets and feed them prasadam.
We don't recommend that you should go out now and get a whole house full of pets so you can make them devotees. No, we're not recommending that. It's better you preach to the human beings. Don't think that you're on the level of Lord Chaitanya. He was able to go to the forest and get all the tigers and the elephant and the deer and everyone to stand up and go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Don't think you're so exalted at Lord Chaitanya. At least if you can make the human beings Krishna conscious, you should take that work, you see. The animals are in human bodies. You preach to those type of animals. That's your mission.
Then it won't be samdarshina.
No, there's the principle of utility also. You have to see where you can be most effective. That you have to see. The human life is the proper life for becoming perfect. The animals are caught up in karma chakra. Whatever animals we can bless along the way, or plants, etc. But our focus must be on the human being, atato brahma jigyasa. They are the only ones who have the facility to inquire about Brahman. Last night at our program, how many animals came? You see? There's only human beings came. Human life means the facility to inquire about self-realization. The other species have no inclination at all. They simply want to know, what can I eat? Where can I sleep? How can I mate? And how can I defend my eating, sleeping, and mating? That's all.